Here's something you must experience to appreciate. An acceleration test photographed by a motion picture camera mounted on the front of a Mercury. And it shows some of the reserve power you can expect to feel when you take a demonstration drive in a Mercury. Mercury's overhead valve V8 engine puts 161 horsepower at your command. And still another feature your dealer wants to show you is that revolutionary new Mercury development, ball joint front wheel suspension, something no other car in Mercury's field can offer you. It makes cornering and steering far easier, gives you a far greater feeling of steadiness and safety. And there's only one way you'll find out how wonderfully easy driving can be with ball joint suspension, and that is to get behind the wheel yourself. And as for beauty, well, black and white pictures just hint at the styling that makes Mercury so distinctive. Until you see them, you can't imagine the brilliant new colors that are available on this year's Mercury. And the new fabrics, many of which are found in no other car in America, regardless of price. Now, for a real thrill when you go to your Mercury dealers, here's a very special car you want to be sure to see. Look, you can actually see right through the roof. This is Mercury's dream car come true, the new Mercury Sun Valley. Well, no matter what Mercury model appeals to you most, the smart thing to do is to be from Missouri for a half hour or so. Let your Mercury dealer show you what a tremendous performer this Mercury is. Let him prove that you can drive away in a brand new Mercury of your own for a lot less than you think. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a reproduction of one of the scenes in the life of Lucille and Desi. Happened here in New York on several occasions. But first, I'd like you to meet some of these guests here. Here, on the extreme end of the dais, on my right, is the fabulous Southerner who busted up the World Series, Dusty Rhodes. Sitting right next to him, the Vice President of Philip Morris, Harry Chesley, a very dear friend of mine. Bill Frawley, you've already met, the handsome Frawley.
Bye-bye.
This big giant of a man who looks as though he might be a Western cowboy actually is, because here's one of the most celebrated toastmaster in the country, although he calls himself the Circus Saints and Sinners Luncheons, the roastmaster, Tex O'Rourke. I'm going to skip across our two guests of honor here and introduce the Vice President of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. He's a librettist, he's a playwright, he's a great friend of these two kids, Howard Dietz. The Indian squaw from Albuquerque. Give me a pass. A movie star who's added tremendous impact to the Kane Mutiny Court Martial, John Hodiak. Sitting next to John Hodiak, the youngster who has returned to this country must be getting a great kick out of this scene here tonight, because it's in such contrast to the scenes that he endured while for 18 months he was a prisoner of the Chinese commies, the INS correspondent, Don Dixon. We're at a Circus Saints and Sinners Luncheon, with the ladies included this time. I'm going to call on Tex O'Rourke to address his remarks to the guests of honor. Tex O'Rourke.
Well, thank you, Ed, for this moment to... this chance to run over the romance of two of my very favorite people who have virtually dynamited their way into the hearts of all of us. This lovable little teaching top turmoil and her Desi, this fabulous financial wizard and skin whammer deluxe, and the road that they took that was sometimes so rocky it must have felt like one of those Mercury testing grounds that Ed's always telling us about. Even back in Lucille's boyhood days, she was a tomboy. She was a tomboy, and one of the worst kind, a redhead. She must have been pretty rugged because they told a story how she wouldn't even play with her baby rattle until it had a live snake on the other end of it. She had already divided her frustrated little self up into a couple of extra identities at that time, sometimes pretending for days that she was a famous tragedian she called Sassafrasa.
Oh, check.
Sometimes she was the Montana cowgirl Madeline, although really between us she came from one of those typical little crossroad accumulations in western New York State, corn tussle town of Celeron, which she helped put on the map. That's a Greyhound map. It's a 2-minute comfort stop. By the time she was 5 years old, she already was an epic in her particular line of childish conceit. She had studied dancing. She had studied elocution with gestures. She had taken up the saxophone and had mastered it for volume. By the time she was 15, she was leading the high school band. She was captain of the basketball team and had already been voted student most likely to go nuts. At 15, with the money that she had earned selling hot dogs out at the fairgrounds and with the eager blessing of her family, she finally reached the Great White Way. And in one short year, she had completed a course in dramatic art, had been told to go home and forget the stage, had tried out for one of Ziegfeld's choruses, and wound up being featured as the beautiful head with nobody in a Coney Island freak show. Funny enough, her first success came to her not as Lucille Ball, but when she became a model under the name of Diane Belmont.
Oh, no, not Diane.
Belmont.
Oh, wait till I tell her about you. Acting as a mannequin down at a racetrack with the same name. In those hungry days, she probably was best described as a perfect sub-deb junior skinny, but once she got to eating regularly, she blossomed out and was well on the way up the ladder to success when she had that fatal, almost fatal accident for 2 years, hospitalization and wheelchairs, and you never heard about it because she wasn't that kind of a trooper, but it took a pretty game kid to get out when she did and grab herself a job as a dancing girl in Eddie Cantor's Roman Scandals, but it got her to Hollywood and it got her in pictures and it got her stardom, and I gotta leave her there getting ready for a role, and you'll remember this name, Too Many Girls, because down in the Caribbean another hurricane was making up at that time. That was Desiderio Alberto Arnazzi de Acha the Third. He was born with a golden guitar in his lap, son of the alcalde of Santiago de Cuba, the biggest mansion in town, the biggest ranch in the hills. He imported motor cars, a yacht, then came the revolution. He was lucky to get out of the country, got over into Miami, a refugee, penniless, an enormous appetite, meant he had to get a job right away, and all he knew was Babaloo. Thinking he'd better get himself a job in the musical world if he could, so he hooked up with a fellow who supplied canaries for the local drugstore trade.
How did you find that out?
That's my job, Daddy. Out things. And you might say he started at the bottom there because his principal job is going around in the mornings and cleaning the bird cages. But in a way it was musical. There were singing canaries. Yeah. When he was 18, he got his first band together. He called it the Siboney Sextet. That particular sextet only had 4 members, but he liked the way the name sounded. Already he knows picking too much of the English. They made the Roney Plaza, so it must have been good music, if you call that music. He was discovered, as they say, by Xavier Cugat, who put him under a long-term contract, $25 a week and bus fare. In a couple of years, he owned the unit. Then one fateful day, he was discovered again by George Abbott, who gave him a part as the Latin lover in a new Broadway musical, and when it was bought by Hollywood, he was sent along with it, and the name, of course, was Too Many Girls, and so they met, and from the start, it was a team through rough seas and smiling skies, but always a team, sometimes a little bit hectic, but way down deep in their hearts, they were always the kind of lovers that the whole world has got to love, And so it's with a great deal of pride and with deep affection on my part that I have this opportunity to add my little tribute to the grandest team in all show business, Desi and Lucy.
Thank you, Ted.
Vivian Vance, meeting Dusty Rhodes, says, Dusty, she said, we've been looking at your television show all week long. Dusty, what do you think of these two?
Well, Ed, Dez and Lucy, that's one show I don't think I'd like to pitch it for.
I think one of the reasons for that wise decision is the film that I discussed with Lucy a little early in the show. I said I'd like to see that scene the night she went to the hospital and had the baby. So now I'd like to have it put on our monitor so everybody here at the banquet table could see it.
Remember when the whole nation was waiting for little Ricky to be born, and suddenly the great moment arrived?
Ricky, this is it.
The family, tell the neighbors, spread the good word. Next week, I Love Lucy.
That show was seen by 86 million people, and I think that show sums up the reasons for the success of these two young stars, because in preparing that particular show, to be sure not to offend anybody, they brought in a minister, a rabbi, and a priest to check every detail of it, out of their great concern for public opinion. The shows they put on, we can say it now as they start their fourth season on television tomorrow, every show they've ever shaped or designed, they've had you in mind, and they wanted you to be satisfied. And here, I think, it's also summed up in this letter. There are wires here from Lily Pons and so many people from all over the country. But this letter here indicates the quality of audience they have. It's a letter from Bernard M. Baruch. He says, please thank the charming Lucille Ball and her attractive husband for the invitation to be present at their appearance on your program tonight. As a constant listener to I Love Lucy and your show, Ed, I shall not miss tonight. Your shows are always good, but with them added, it will be tops. Tell her that I still love Lucy. And I think that's a very fitting introduction for you. So consider yourself introduced by Bernard M. Baruch.
All right, Ed.
Here she is. Lucille Ball.
Thank you very much, Ed. I'm going to just take this as my big opportunity to thank everyone who's helped make I Love Lucy a good show. I'm just going to grab at the chance. First, CBS and Philip Morris for having confidence in us and backing us in our pioneering ideas. Thank you. Then the one and only Jess Oppenheimer, our head writer and producer. Love that man. Our two wonderful and talented writers who work with Jess, our youngsters, Madeline Pugh and Bob Carroll Jr., who, incidentally, are not married, but seem to have a great understanding of the trials and tribulations of the Ricardos. Next, a great little guy, our director, Mr. William Asher. We call him William the Conqueror or Billy the Kid, depending on the mood we're in. Next, Mr. Carl Freund, our Academy Award-winning photographic genius. Thank you, Papa. And please thank each and every man in your crew. And, of course, Vivian Vance and William Frawley. Everyone should be fortunate enough to work with these two. They're blessed with an unfailing sense of humor, a wish to do their best at all times, from first rehearsal on, an understandable pride in their work that has, without a doubt, been a top contributing factor to the success of Lucy. Thank you, Viv. Bill. Oh, you get so emotional up here. Now then, there's another character in our show. His name escapes me at the moment. But this guy, who seems to be in all places at once, making like an actor, a banker, a politician, in short, a producer, gets my vote as the greatest producer of all time. And I have two little Arnazes at home to prove it. Jesse, I love you. Signed, Lucy.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I think if it wouldn't have been for Lucy, I would have stopped trying a long time ago, because I was always the guy that didn't fit. When she did my favorite husband on the radio, they said that I wasn't the type to play the part. Then finally she wanted to do the television show, and she says, well, I want to do it with Desi. So everybody again said, well, he's not right to play your husband. Finally, one executive at CBS says, well, maybe the audience would buy him, because after all, they have been married for 13 years. And you know something, though, that I really want to tell you tonight? What Tex O'Rourke said about my first job in this country was cleaning bird cages. It's very true. We came to this country and we didn't have a cent in our pockets. From cleaning canary cages to this night here in New York, it's a long ways. And I don't think there's any other country in the world that could give you that opportunity. I want to say thank you. Thank you, America. Thank you.
Here to call on some of these other distinguished guests of the dais to pay their tributes. I was going to have John Hodiak get up and say something. I was going to call on Howard Dietz of MGM. Knows him from his contacts with him at MGM. But the time is running out, so I'm going to suggest instead, and with my apologies to those I'm not calling on, let's have a real big hand for these two who are starting off tomorrow on their fourth season, their fourth wonderful season in television. Let's really hear it for Lucille and Desi. Now, I don't think I'll get an argument from anyone when I say that there are really only two things to worry about when you buy a used car. First, how can you be sure you're getting a safe buy? Well, you just go to your local Lincoln or Mercury dealer's used car lot. You pick any car with a Safe Buy sticker right up here on the windshield. For every car with this sticker has been thoroughly inspected and reconditioned wherever necessary. And now the second thing to consider is how to be sure of getting a good buy. Well, your Lincoln or Mercury dealer is in a good position to give you a better value. You see, Lincoln or Mercury dealers have the volume that spells value. They sell more new cars on the average in competition. They've taken a big selection of used cars as trade, so if you'll just see your nearest Lincoln or Mercury dealer and pick yourself a used car with one of these Safe Buy stickers on the windshield, you've had it, and you'll have it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, before we say goodnight, I'm going to remind all of you to tune in tomorrow night on Lucille and Desi, and remind all of you to tune in all the time on your Lincoln or Mercury dealer. Good night.
Sketches by Jess Oppenheimer, Bob Kell, Jr., and Madeline Hughes.